CEO.
Good evening and welcome to KCEO Radio AM 1000. This is the 11th Hour Ministries coming to you from North County, San Diego, California. And tonight we're here at the 11th Hour Ministries to study the mystery of the gospel. This following hour will be filled with scripture and testimony, some super powerful testimony coming tonight from a special guest. Her name is Kim Tower. And we're here to study this is what we say in the 11th Hour Ministries here, is this is the 20th century application to timeless instruction. And so it's all about the Bible here at the 11th Hour Ministries and how our God can work in our lives and the power of God in our lives. And tonight I'd like to open with a prayer, and that is that God, please forgive all of the folks listening, including myself, God, for all the sins that we've committed to this moment in time. God, we know that we know that when we feel inner rage, or if when we feel alone, or if we've fallen far, or if we've hit rock bottom, or we feel neglected or abandoned, that you're close to us, God, and we thank you for that. And God, we just ask tonight that you would open our hearts and souls and minds and spirits to your word through the scripture, through the Bible, to God, give us a message and show us your way, God. We've lived our lives in many different directions, and people who are listening tonight. And God, we ask that you would open our eyes and hearts and minds and souls and spirits to, God, draw us into your good. Just like a moth to the light, God, bring us close to you, because we're here at the 11th Hour Ministries, God. We're afraid of the dark. We want to live in your light. We want to walk every step that we take in your way, God. And we know that reading our Bibles and the pure scripture that you've given us, the gift that you've given us called the Bible, is the only way to true understanding in our lives, how to live peaceful and successful and harmonious, tranquil lives. God, we know that through the scripture that you give us a new spirit, you make us a new creation, that God, we get a new life, a new direction, a new purpose, a new awareness, a new hope. And God, we become wholesome and soft-hearted, and we go from lost to found, God. And so tonight, God, we pray that every single person here listening, that something powerful that you would want each person to understand or know or feel and hear through your scripture, that would touch their hearts, God. And we just thank you for the time we can spend sharing your truth and your word in our lost and dark world in this particular hour. And we pray for all this in the name of Jesus, our brother. Amen. Tonight here at the 11th Hour Ministries, we have a very special guest, as I mentioned. This young lady's name is Kim Tower, and I met her by happenstance through business. We kind of knew the same person. We bumped into each other, and God has just moved so powerfully in this young lady's life that I couldn't help. I've been wanting to promote her story on our program here. And so at this point in time, I'd like you all to get a copy of your Bible so that we can share the truth and the word as we go through this evening together. We use here what at the 11th Hour Ministries, what's called the NIV Bible, the New International Version. There are many versions of the Bible, but we do ask that you get a copy of your Bible if you're able to. And once again, we're here at the 11th Hour Ministries to study the mystery of the gospel. And this young lady's story is absolutely how God moves in our lives and how he allows us to go through certain challenges and trials, tribulations, and things of this nature, and what his purpose for our life is. And this is absolutely a young lady who's super clear on what her purpose is. And so we'd like to let you hear her story right now. Please sit by.
My name is Kim Tower. It is a pleasure to be here with you today. It is my prayer for each of you today that my journey in darkness will reveal how magnificent our Lord truly is, and that without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, I would not be here to tell this story. Before I begin, I'd like to share a little bit about myself. I'm the oldest of three children. My parents have been married for 48 years. I currently own and have owned for the past 4 years a consulting firm. I'm the very proud mother of two wonderful sons, ages 27 and 25, and I'm now remarried to a wonderful man of God. I tell you that because it has significance as we move through the story. My journey began at age 14 when our family relocated to San Diego. I began meeting different people my age in our neighborhood and was introduced to a boy named Ray. We began the get-to-know process, and ever so quickly, I was in love. Before too long, we were officially dating. Little did I know I was slowly but surely falling into his web. Within the first year, he would tell me where I could go, what friends I could have, what I could and could not wear, and he used to tell me it was because he cared. When birthdays and Christmas would roll around, if I received a gift of clothing from my mom or my sister, I would open it, and I'd have to pretend that I didn't know if I liked it until I was alone with Ray, and he would let me know if I could keep it. Within a few months of moving in together, I became pregnant. Ray decided that we needed to get married before the baby was born. We told our parents and began to plan the wedding. Now that I was pregnant and going to be his wife soon, the methods of control intensified. He was putting an even greater wedge between my family and I. He had begun to convince me that without him, I would never be able to make it, and that if I ever had any thoughts about leaving him, I would never see my baby again. Shortly after our first son was born, there was some confrontation with my mom, and he told her that once your grandson is old enough to understand, I'm going to tell him that his grandmother is dead. For several years after that, my time spent with my family was minimal, which saddened me so much. Our son was the first grandchild on my side. When my first child was 13 months old, I was pregnant with our second son. He was born with very severe asthma, which prevented me from working outside the home, which, by the way, Ray loved. Yet another way he was able to keep me housebound. All of the accounts were in his name alone. I had no access to money. I was given $5 a week for gas, $25 a week for groceries. I had to ask permission to leave the house if I wasn't taking the children with me. I fell deeper into abusive darkness every day, but had convinced myself that my children were okay, and the only way I would ever be brave enough to leave was if I knew my children were hurting. Therefore, because they weren't hurting in my eyes, I had to endure whatever came my way so that my sons didn't have to grow up in a broken home. Little did I know what I was about to learn. He began to question how many places I had stopped and told me that I was gone too long to have just 4 bags of groceries. I finally figured out that prior to me leaving, he would go out into the garage, check the odometer, and match it best he could to my story of where I went. I remember one night as I was at the mall buying gifts for a PTA fundraiser, he felt that I had been gone too long to buy those few gifts and accused me of being with another man. By the time I had come home, he had gone into a full rage, cut every piece of clothing I owned in half, and had strewn them all over the bed. I was now left with the clothing on my back. At one point, we lived 3 miles from my parents, but I had become so estranged from my family that we never spoke, and I distinctly remember one day walking through the grocery store. I walked right past my father without speaking to him. That almost killed me. I soon learned that Ray had a secret life of drugs, alcohol, and partying, and that I was about to fall even deeper into darkness. Still, I had made a promise to myself that I would endure whatever I had to for my sons because they were okay. Or were they? At this point, my sons are now 6 and 8 years old. They each had their own bedrooms, and every night when they went to bed, I would sit on the edge of their beds, rub their backs. They could talk about their day or would ask me to hum them to sleep. I would spend about 10 minutes with each of them. This one night, as I sat on my oldest son's bed, he didn't have much to say. In fact, his face looked real sad. I continued to rub his back, and sitting next to his bed was his dresser. As the nightlight shone on the side of his dresser, I noticed what appeared to be scratches. As I got closer, I noticed that not only was it scratched, but he had taken the pointed edge of a protractor and etched into the wood these words, "I hate my life." He was 8 years old. That night, God answered my prayers and showed me that my children were in fact hurting and that they too were living in a world of darkness. The next morning, after Ray left for work, I backed my Volvo station wagon into the garage, and with more adrenaline than I ever thought I had, I began to move my children's beds, clothes, a couple of pans, 3 dinner plates, 3 place settings of silverware. As we had been driving for a couple of miles, 2 things popped into my head. First, where exactly did I think I was going? I had no money, no gas, and no way to get any money. Second, I realized that I had forgotten my son's asthma medication and his breathing treatment machine that he needed to have in order to survive. I turned the car back around, and with the terror rising up inside of me at the thought of going back to that house, what if he was there? I put my key into the front door, ran into the kitchen where the medication was, scooped it up in my arms, turned around to leave the kitchen, and was met head-on with a loaded gun to my head. After a few seconds of pushing it into my skull, he pulled the trigger. The gun did not fire. The gun did not fire because God was in control of the trigger. In frustration, Ray exited through the garage where he had pulled in. After he was gone, I walked out the garage to get back to my children. As I left the garage, looked down and noticed laying on the floor was an ATM card. That card was not there earlier. I made so many trips moving things out into that car. I truly saw at that moment it was God's provision for my freedom. The only problem was I didn't have the password to be able to get any money. Didn't know if there was any money in the account. Could he be setting me up? I had to take that chance. I decided to go to the local branch and hope that I would see a teller that I knew. Sure enough, she was there. Shaking like a leaf, I approached the teller window, started conversation with her to distract her from noticing that the name on the account was not mine, nor was I on the account. I explained to her that I had forgotten my PIN number for the card. Could I choose another one? Why, of course you can, she said. As she ever so slowly walked over to the vault, came back with the bands of $100 bills, she began to count them out so diligently. I began to hyperventilate with fear. You see, Ray worked for that bank, in that branch, directly upstairs from where I was standing. We found an apartment to live in, and the journey of healing began for all 3 of us, while the moments of sheer terror continued for years, with stalking, verbal threats, and miscellaneous other actions, like the cutting of my brake cable in my car. What I really hope that you heard in this story is that survival was truly impossible, but with God all things are possible. As I look back on this journey, it is so clear to see that God was with me all the time, bringing me through the darkness. Some may ask, why did I have to go through all of this if God loves me? Because he had a divine purpose for my life and loves me, he was there with me every step of the way. I then heard his quiet whisper in my ear. He said, you have a story that you need to share with other women. I am beginning a new path for you, a path that will support, encourage, and equip women who have fallen victim to domestic violence. Within a few months, God gave me the name Light of Hope, and the ministry was birthed. I encourage you today to turn to God for your hope. God's word is our book of promises. In Isaiah 42:16, he says, I will guide you, I will turn darkness into light before you, and make the rough places smooth. He is a God of life, a God of compassion, and he wants to set you free. Always remember, ladies, he loves you. And
Kim. Hello, this is Mark. Kim, are you there? Hi, Kim, this is Mark. Are you there?
I am here.
Welcome, my sister, and God bless you for that awesome, awesome testimony.
Oh, God bless you.
You know, Kim, here at the 11th Hour Ministries, and now we're sort of promoting your ministry as well here, it's all about God. And I just wanted the listeners here at KCEO Radio to hear your story. The program that we just played is just so powerful, the story of what happened in your life. And at the 11th Hour Ministries, we are just so thrilled that God has given us the ability to share his love. You and I have known each other for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And met through a mutual acquaintance through business. But when the events that have taken place since we've met are just mind-boggling, in the fact that God, it seems as though, without any shadow of a doubt, that God had a purpose for us to actually meet at one point in our lives, to share his love together, to share his word and his truth, and then to kind of team up in a way. And I feel so grateful that God put you in my life. And so I'd like to just kind of, you know, go on a little bit more with the story of how God has moved so powerfully. You talk about how this gun was put to your head and the trigger was pulled at that moment in time. Unless you've lived through such a thing, I don't believe that, you know, if people can truly relate to that type of event. But it seems as though God has a way of bringing us to our rock bottom, or you know, a place of brokenness. And that at that moment in time, is that where God moved in your life and you knew instantly that he was there to protect? Or how exactly did you know that God had his hand in this scenario?
Well, I think, you know, I saw God through the story and through the life and those years that I lived many, many times. But I think, to be very honest, Mark, I think it was really after I had gone through that journey that I could look back and really see how present he was.
Mm.
Because God gives us, allows our brain to do an amazing thing, and sometimes I think it can be not such a good thing at times, and that is to almost wear a mask and to have a sense of denial. And that's for so many years what I did.
Mm.
I did not want to believe that things were as bad as they were, because in my mind, I wanted to be married, I wanted to have children, I wanted to have a family. And so in my mind, I created this great family atmosphere, presence, because I was making it with the children.
Mm.
And so I didn't feel that they were suffering any abuse or any pain.
Mm.
Because it was all happening to me.
Wow.
And so I had made my mind up years ago in the relationship that I was going to be okay, and I would stick it out until they were 18, and then I would leave. Because they were not hurting. They were happy. I was taking care of them. They were fed. They had a roof over their head. And they seemed happy, but that's because I wanted to see that.
Wow.
And it wasn't until I prayed for God to show me, sitting in church, that I wasn't allowed to go to, by the way, if my children are suffering, you show me that, and I'll leave right now.
Wow.
And it wasn't 2 or 3 days later that I found the scratch of the words etched in the side of the dresser.
Wow.
So I think once I was out, and this is a misconception that a lot of women who fall victim to domestic violence, they believe that once they're out, it's all over. And that's really the furthest thing from the truth. What it is once they're out, the healing and the restoration, that's when it begins.
Amen. You know, it's interesting, Kim, is that, you know, scripture that I'm thinking of that correlates to your story here is in Matthew 7:7-8, it says, "Ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you.
Mm-hmm.
For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened." And again in Matthew 21:22, "If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." There's so many scriptures here that Jeremiah 29:12, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." Isaiah 65:24, "Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear." Job 22:27, "You will pray to him and he will hear you." And what I'm hearing from you is that you were crying out to our God. And we all get lost in here at the 11th Hour Ministries. We call it keeping it real, and we consider this to be a miracle in motion. And the reason why is because when we read scripture and we hear a story of this magnitude in your life, that it's so clear that our God allows these type of events to take place. Like you said in your tape, is that there's a story that God has given you that so many women who are listening tonight could, without a question, relate to an abusive relationship, either verbally or physical, or, you know, whether it be them or someone they know, what we've seen on television, etc. And it just breaks our God's heart, but yet he's using you as his vehicle to promote his word, his truth, and it's the only way to freedom, as you say. And tonight, actually, I'd like to give out what's the National Domestic Violence Hotline phone number, which is 1-800-799-SAFE, S-A-F-E. And again, that's 1-800-799-SAFE. And the reason why is that if there's anyone listening that has any violence whatsoever taking place in their home, that we ask that they not be afraid, because Kim, your testimony is so powerful. And the fact is that we used to live in the dark ages where these things took place in homes where it wasn't brought up, it wasn't spoken about, it was hidden. And God's, all of the, Satan wraps his hands around things that are in the darkness. And whenever something is brought to the light, that's where God can bless it.
That's right. That's right.
And I didn't know you, just for the listener's sake, is that I had no knowledge of you long ago while all this was taking place in your life. But when I met you, there is clearly a woman who has such a reverence for our God, and the fact that just the what emanates from you, his spirit, the peace that comes around, you know, when I'm in your presence. We've only seen each other 2-3 times, but it's just so amazing, and we have so much fun sharing his love, and it's just mind-boggling to have you on the program tonight. Now, in the case of where God has started your new life, so to speak, you were in this very difficult situation, and has your life now, since you've left this environment, turned to a better way? Are you able to see a clear distinction between the times when you were being tormented, so to speak, as well as now?
You know, it is really, I like to say I was born again twice.
Wow.
I used to sit in, and this is the one message above all that I would like for every woman out there to really, really absorb in their heart, is I sat in a church parking lot, and I used to watch couples holding hands and walking into the church. And I'd crack my window just a little bit because I'd want to hear just kind words and hear what happy couples. And I used to say, God, why can't that be me? Why? I'm a good person. I have so much to offer. Why? And I think we all of us, for various different reasons, at times say, why, God, why?
Mm.
And, you know, we expect an answer right now, and I expected an answer then.
Mm.
But, you know, God's timing and our timing very seldom align.
Amen.
But we have to trust that his timing is perfect.
Amen.
And I will tell you that every single aspect of what I used to lay in bed at night and dream, sit in that parking lot and dream that I could have, 8 years ago, I married a man far superior, he absolutely blows away any dream or thought or wish I could have ever had back in those years.
Amen.
A godly man, the most incredible husband, wonderful role model for my two sons.
Amen.
And, you know, I had to be ready. You know, sometimes it's not that God doesn't want to give us the desires of our heart. He does, but we also have to be ready to receive those gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And if I would have met the man that I am with now back then, no way. Would have never worked. I was a mess. God was still repairing and restoring me from the inside out. He didn't call upon me with this plan to birth a ministry and to commit my life for the rest of my life to women.
Amen.
He didn't call me to do that back in the day. Why? I wasn't ready. He's been working on me all these years. And when he felt I was ready, he woke me at 3:00 a.m.
Mm.
And he said, you have a story you need to tell us.
Amen.
So I think we need to be confident, and we need to be content where we are on the way to where we're going. And the other thing that I want women to understand and to realize is I do understand why they are in the relationship they are in, and I heard it, and I still hear it. When I go speak to an organization, I will have at least one woman that says, why'd you stay in that so long? Mm. Boy, the first time somebody hit me or talked to me that way, I'd be out the door. Very easy for you to say unless you have walked in my shoes.
Understood.
And these women need to know that there are options for them.
Well, I think it's a slow, constricting process that, you know, Satan, the Bible teaches us that Satan is roaming like a lion waiting to devour.
Absolutely.
And he doesn't play softball. I mean, Satan's mm-hmm. up 24/7, 365, is looking for our weakness and a way to bring us, separate us from the lamb from the herd, and to take advantage and,
yep.
and to wound and harm and destroy and all things evil. It's, again, you know, I find myself pulling into more scripture here, Psalms 50:15, and call upon me in the day of trouble, I will deliver you, and you will honor me. And when you say that for the rest of your life, that you're dedicated to our Lord, and you know, I have a very similar story myself as to how I've come to the Lord. But, you know, it took me to go through the furnace. The Bible talks about how we are refined like silver and purified like gold. And there are times in our lives where God will, you know, let us be refined and to sort of bring us to a place where we can fully absorb, fully appreciate, fully understand his purpose and how powerful he is. First of all, the fact that he is real, there is a God, and he cannot and will not be denied, and it's all about God. And the fact that where we once drove in our own, we pretty much steered our own boat, and I, in my lifetime, ended up on the rocks more times than not, and I cried out, and I couldn't understand. Like you said, you know, I'm a good person. Why is that? Why do I have to go through this? Why can't I have, you know, the things that I see in others, like in other families, like you're saying, and just amazing, because here are people who are, you know, very detached from each other by, you know, latitude, longitude, etc. But, you know, how do we end up bumping into each other after I'm 46 years old on this planet and having such common bond, mm-hmm. such a common denominator? I'd like to read you, Kim, right now, a story, and this is actually written by my brother. It's an email that actually tones in on the same aspect of what we're speaking about tonight. And I'd like you to hang on the line here. We're going to try to see if we can get him on the line as well. But this email, actually, in my opinion, is absolutely the same type of events that took place in his life and my life and your life. And look at the common denominator here. So it starts off where... my brother's had four kidney transplants in his life, and he started at 16 years old. They started to have all kinds of medical issues, and he's had such tremendous things that he's had to overcome in his life, and God's always been a part of his life. But just like you're talking about where, you know, people don't realize unless they've gone through it how Satan just chips away at us, and he just works us over in such a way where we get taken away from the herd, and the baby lamb is in the bushes, and this is where we find ourselves. But when we cry out to God, our God is faithful. His promise to us is that he will always be there for us. And so after a long period of time, my brother was not really doing very well. His health started to go in a downward spiral to some degree. We made a deal that we would, my wife and I, that if, with my mother, if there was ever a time when it all got too heavy for my brother, that we would do something to help him carry the cross, if you will, or just carry the burden. A few, four-ish months ago, I got a phone call from my mother who said, you know, the time has come. Your brother is weak, and he's really trying to, he's struggling to keep afloat, so to speak, with his job and his health and things. He's juggling many balls. So my wife and I intervened, and we made it, we gave him the ability to move to South Carolina from Philadelphia via some housing that we arranged for him there. And then we called and said, my brother, there's, God has a plan for your life, and what God, what I believe God is calling you to do is to pull the plug of what you're doing and where you are, and change your zip code, change your whole environment, go to a place where I believe God's going to super bless your life. And we've already arranged housing there, so we're not asking, we're basically telling you, is if you choose to accept what we believe God is calling you to do, the door is wide open. And this is an email that I got back from him less than a week ago. Hi, Mark and Judy. I can't find the words that would accurately express how much your unselfishness and generosity has changed my life. I am ashamed to admit that I came very close to giving up on my life, and most ashamedly, I almost gave up on God and His plan for my life. At a time in my life when I was 98% sure that the end was very near and my life would never would end under suspicion of an accidental drug overdose, I could not have been more wrong. I was of the belief that if I had died of an accidental drug overdose, it would be part of God's plan. I thought that I was suffering so much and was not able to cope because God wanted me to take my own life, and my death would become some kind of lesson for others. How had I become so self-centered and conceited? How could I believe that I was so important that my death would be orchestrated by God for the good of others? I allowed Satan to creep into my spirit and fake me out. Trust me when I tell you, it would have been days, not more than 5 days, I was convinced that God wanted me to take my own life. 3 weeks before I asked Mark for a sum of money to help a doctor build the children's program, I prayed out loud, God, I can't keep going on like this. You know my suffering. If you want me to take my own life, I will. If in 4 weeks I am still struggling with my health and my life as I am now, then I will know that it is your plan that I take my own life. Now you know I am not one who uses prayer and stories about prayer to make myself appear to be closer to God. I am telling you that I prayed out loud 3 weeks before Mark told me God's plan. I believe that without your intervention, which was God working through both of you, I would not be alive today. I was prepared and in so much pain, I was looking forward to the relief I presumed would come from death. I would be in hell right now if not for your faith, love, and kindness. I love you both and will continue living my life to honor God and our family by being as helpful to as many of God's children as possible. I love you both with all the love I can muster, Stephen. And we'd like to take Stephen, open the line for Stephen as we speak. Stephen. Brother Stephen, how are you?
I'm doing very well. How are you this evening? I was listening, and I can tell you that, you know, I listened to you read the letter, and I put tears to my own eyes again. It's just an amazing thing. You know, I've been in very high places with my spirituality and my beliefs, and I've been in quite low places. And, you know, I'm a mental health professional by trade, but yet was able to be up to the place where I was actually ready to do exactly what the letter said. The thing that really amazes me is with, like, you have shared so much personal information with you. Kim has shared such personal information about her. That's what it takes to bring others closer to God. You know, and I'm just so proud of you, my brother, to be able to, not a lot of people know this, but, you know, you sacrifice financially to put this radio show on, you sacrifice your time, you give up your time to God, and I'm so proud of you for doing that, to let things, to let other people know about the work that other people are doing and the work that you do. continuously, you know. And that's about as true a story as you can, as that I was ready to be, I was ready to just, it was all prepared. And I knew that, you know, and it was the timing for me. It was a timing issue because I said to God, I said, hey, look, all right. And it's not like I said, hey, God, I'm going to give you 4 weeks. You know what I mean? It wasn't like that. I actually said, God, it's been 4 weeks. Things haven't changed for me. Then that's, you know, again, I want to make sure that people understand that was absolutely crack thinking. It was not clear thinking under the pressure, the pain, the physical ailment, whatever it was.
Understood.
Satan, all of those things together, I kind of, it's kind of like the perfect storm. All those things kind of coming together at the same time. But then when I make the phone call to you 3 weeks into the mission and really now saying, wait a minute, all right, I have a week left, you know. So let me see if I can come up and change my life another way. Come to you for a little bit of money to try to build a children's program. That's going to certainly change my life because if I'm helping to build that children's program, this new energy, new thing. And I just can't even, you know, I mean, I went from, you know, I certainly, God took me from a place of pain through you, through your wife, through mom's intervention, all of the prayers of our family and friends, really took me from a place of real, real pain. And significant pain, what I was, which pretty much came to the place that was unbearable for me. I was worn out. I was beat down. And took me in, and picked me out of that place and dropped me in paradise.
Amen.
I really have. And I can't, I'm here, and you know that I'm very close with Mom and David where they live, not only spiritually, but now physically.
Amen.
Which is just another blessing for both of us, all three of us, really, you know? And it's just an amazing, amazing thing. And I just, you know, I thank you again. And thank God that this is the way things have worked out. And look forward to the next chapter of my life.
Amen.
And that where God's going to take me now. What am I going to do? Who am I going to help? Where am I going to go? You know, so.
Well, and it's interesting is that, you know, Kim has put together the Light of Hope Ministries. And Kim, you're still with us, yes?
Yes, I am.
Okay, Kim, I'd just like to, I was going to, Stephen, just so you're clear, I was going to email Kim your correspondence to me, but I actually chose not to do that, and I chose to do it on air, because to me, this is something that when someone hears this, I wanted to get a first reaction fresh off, you know. Kim, yeah. So you've heard Stephen's witness. How on earth do you feel about that? Is that just God's power, or is that amazing? Can you relate to, you know, the dark depths that he had gone to, and how God has just super blessed his life? I mean, in an instant, this man's life has transformed just like yours. Is it not amazing?
It is amazing, and it just goes to show that the enemy was defeated.
Amen.
A long time ago. And even though we get to very, 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 very dark places sometimes, we're never out of God's hands.
And we're never alone. God's
we're hands. Never alone. And
yeah.
The enemy, he just doesn't stop. He just doesn't stop. But it all comes back to he was defeated.
Amen.
A long time
That's
ago.
Beautiful.
That's
beautiful.
It's absolutely, Stephen, it's absolutely amazing. I'm kind of sitting with my mouth hanging open hearing the story, and I've been waiting for the email from Mark, and I'm really glad you saved it, actually, Mark. It was just a great experience to hear it just like this. So, just, you know, once again, God just never, it's like he just awes me greater and greater every time. And, you know, the purpose, I'm just excited for Stephen to see what God is going to do in his life for other people, because God does not waste a hurt.
Amen.
God does not waste any experience. And most people would say, well, you know, and ask me, how did you make it through it? Well, how did Stephen make it through it?
Amen.
Because it was God's plan that he made it through.
Wow.
Because God has a divine purpose for my life, for your life, Mark, for Stephen, and for everyone else.
Amen.
We just have to be quiet and listen.
If I could say one thing, Mark, please.
Go right ahead, Stephen.
Thank you. I was actually in church this morning speaking with a friend of mine, Reno, here, and we were talking about how does this whole system work? like there's God, like it's God up in heaven saying, okay, there's Kim. Let's make her get together with this guy, real young, have a baby. He has insecurities. He's a mean person. He has whatever his issues are, and he takes control of her. He's abusive to her. He's causing her this way. So God, let's take care. Okay, now take Steven's kidneys, like or what we were discussing was, does God say, I'm going to give you internal fortitude. I'm going to give you a personality. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you free will. And I'm going to give you the choice. I'm going to give you all these things. And then it's up to you to make the decisions as to how you live your life. And we cannot go, like I could never, there were times, and I'm a mental health professional, and I would see sometimes early in my career where women would be with men and were abusive, and I could never understand it. But then came a time where I understood because of the love for the children and because of the strongest desire a woman has is to have a family.
Amen.
To have that family be successful. And that brought me, like Kim, when you said to us tonight about, you know, you need to walk in my shoes to really understand. That's something that's very important. You know, somebody that does not walk in your shoes will never understand. But just as we go in faith with the other things, we have to go in faith with that. So it's very difficult to be in a situation. Women are, many, many women, most women I could honestly say, they really want to have a family and it be successful. And they're loving, and they love their children, and they do what it takes. They take punches, they take the brunt. We've had that kind of situation in our own family to a large degree, and thank God the lessons that were learned through that and the strength of our mother that brought us through that was an amazing experience, which has grown us all closer together eventually, and it's all brought us closer to God.
Well,
because now looking back and seeing her strength and what she went through, and I could see a lot of our mother, Mark, our mother, Carol, in that story that she told tonight.
Without a question, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't even had a chance to share that with Kim, but Kim, we come from a family of great dysfunction, and you know what this sort of brings to my mind is the amount of power that comes from the connection from a mother bear and her cubs, and you know there's an instinct that Kim and Mom have been given that would, you know, basically just give them this inner power to overcome whatever adversity comes, to really fight for everything that's in them for their cubs and their cubs' safety. And one thing that comes to mind here, folks, in this beautiful, amazing hour here on 11th Hour Ministries, KCEO Radio, AM 1000, is just that, you know, sharing the mystery of the gospel, sharing the witness of two people who God has with unequivocally called you by name, and the events that you've gone through in your lifetimes to have the three of us together on the radio right now, promoting the Light of Hope Ministries here with Kim Tower, my brother Stephen, who now lives in South Carolina from moving there from Philadelphia, only recently has a life-altering change from his moving to the home that he's in now, and what God's putting on my heart is to go into Hebrews here, which is actually Hebrews 11, and this is where faith is really highlighted in the Bible, and I'd like to read some scripture that I believe really correlates to our time spent here together tonight by faith, and so it's Hebrews 11. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. That is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed by God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith he still speaks even though he is dead. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. By faith, Noah was warned about things not yet seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By this faith, he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country, and lived in the tents, and did as Isaac and Jacob, who were the heirs with him in the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose ancients, architects, and builder is God. Hmm. Now, you know, this scripture in Hebrews here, folks, goes on to 11:17. By faith, Abraham, when God called him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Hebrews 11:20. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regards to the future. It goes on to talk about Joseph and Moses, and all by faith, how these folks, by faith, in 11:28 here, by faith he kept the Passover and sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. By faith, in 11:29, by faith the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. By faith, the prostitute Rahab, because of her welcome and spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And it goes on and on. And you know, it's just amazing to me that it's really, truly, by your faith that you folks, during the time when the Bible talks about that God will renew the time when the locusts have swarmed, and we all have a time in our lives for a season where things are so bad and so desperate and we feel so alone, and how God had carried you through, folks, through. We talk about the footprints in the sand, that poem, and how God was there. There are two sets in the footprints in the sand, and God, how could you leave me when I was needed you most? And he said, it's then when I carried you. And how awesome it is that our God loves us so much that he carries us through at those times in our lives when we have such a burden and such an ache inside of us. And we know that without God, the only thing that can fill that ache, the only thing that can fill the void is God and His word, his blessings through the Bible. And once again here, you know, the mystery of the gospel. How can anyone explain, Stephen, as you said about Kim, you know, how she could endure? Why would she stick around? I mean, what kind of, you know, I would be out of there in a second, blah, blah. Well, you know, everyone in their own way has something that happens in their lives where we stay. And we're holding on to whatever, you know, hope or whatever there is to try to struggle our way through. And God is testing to make sure that we are going to stay with him. Our Bible says that our God is a jealous God. And it's just amazing to hear the story of how Kim, how you've been able to endure. And God bless. The Bible talks about your children's children for all generations. Your children's 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 children will be blessed because of your bravery.
I'm sorry to cut you off. Can I just ask Kim a question? I know that for personal, I know that my mother, our mother, has given our father, if you will, a lot of forgiveness. And for her own sake and for our sake, she's forgiven him for many of his injustices. And I was wondering where Kim is with that.
Kim, did you hear Steve?
I didn't.
Okay, Stephen is asking that in the case of our father, who actually, you know, at the younger stages of our lives had been sort of, tough on my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And that my mother when she became born again, was able to forgive my father for, his trespassing, so to speak. And we all know that the Bible says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Stephen's question to you is, how have you been able to process, what you've gone through in your life with your ex-husband, and how do you, your forgiveness for him? Can you elaborate on that?
Well, actually, when I speak, I have actually taught classes on forgiveness, because for many years after leaving him, I had hate, I had rage, I had anger, resentment, all the nasty negative thoughts that I could have, and I wasn't getting better. I was still stuck in this victim mentality. And God spoke to me, and then it was confirmed sitting in church that you must forgive.
Wow.
And until the day that you forgive, you will not begin to move on.
Or heal.
Nothing will happen, because God can't get in and work where it's all dark and negative.
Amen.
You've got to open up. You've got to, here I am, fix it. And so I teach and speak, even if I don't teach, I speak a lot on forgiveness. And it's amazing, the body language out in the audience. Oh, I'm not forgiving him. Well, okay, then you don't want to get well. So I have forgiven him. I forgave him a long time ago. And that is the critical piece of information that I can give women, because until they do that, they will not move on. And the whole idea is, I need to establish with these women, when I'm speaking to them or when I'm counseling them, is they have a choice, but only they can make it. Do they want to stay a victim, or do they want to become a survivor?
Amen.
And same thing for Stephen. He became a survivor.
Amen. And we all do, in the name of Jesus.
Absolutely.
When we decide that Jesus Christ is our Lord, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, is the first step toward becoming a new creation. And God can take the same set of circumstances. The Bible says that all things work for the good of God for those who believe.
That's right.
All things work for the good of God for those who believe. Stephen and Kim, how on earth can what you folks have gone through, and including myself and the story behind my life with drugs and alcohol and just heathenistic behavior, how can God take any of that and turn it into good? And there were women in my life that I had, taken advantage of and whatever. And I didn't, in the end, prayed for God to enlighten them so that they could be stronger in his truth and in knowing him, because I, did things again. I trespassed against them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to say tonight here, folks, is, by the way, where the testimony here presented by way of Kim and myself and my brother Stephen, we've used examples of situations that it's our opinion of how these things unfolded. We want to make sure it's super clear that, we're not here to do anything but show our version of example of what things could have or would have taken place in our lives that may have made such a difference in our lives. But the Bible says whatever measure we use, it will be measured to us. And we're not here to, do any harm to anyone. We don't want to, make anyone feel isolated from, being good people, whatever. God's going to do his work in each one of us at his time. And we believe that it's all about turning to God for each individual person. And so, God, we just pray right now that all the people who don't know you in their lives, God, we know how alone they are. We know how wounded they are. We know how broken they are, and how Satan has just taken advantage of their lack of understanding of you and lack of knowledge of you, God. And we ask, God, that you take the blinders off their eyes, that you would open their hearts and minds and souls and spirits to know you in a greater way. God, you have put together a group of people tonight, God, that love you so much, and we're so glad that we've been able to have spend this hour of time together witnessing the truth of the Word of God on live radio, God. We're so grateful that you've brought us together at this point in time, because what our relationships are binding together in your name, and we, God, ask that all of the power and glory and honor are yours. And the purpose, God, is for our prayers tonight is that someone out there could hear something that may touch their heart, God. Someone with a hard heart may have their heart turned soft. And God, that those who don't know you will come to you, will call upon you, as the Bible promises that you will, if we call upon you, you will respond, God. And once again, here, wrapping it up, folks, is that we're here at the 11th Hour Ministries on KCEO Radio, AM 1000. Anyone in the North County of San Diego area, we highly recommend what's called the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. That's where I'm a member. This is a church where God is alive and well. Anyone who feels anything that has touched their hearts tonight and can relate to what we've just spoken of, I highly recommend that find your way into the Lighthouse Christian Church of Oceanside. They're able to be found on the web at www.lightcc.org. We super highly recommend that you visit Kim's website. It's called the Light of Hope Ministries. And so we ask that you would visit her website as well. Super powerful for all kinds of information on there. And I just want to thank both of you for being here tonight. Closing comment, Kim, on your website, is that the right address? Or?
It is. It's thelightofhopeministries.org.
Okay.
And we have actually a toll-free number. If you'd like me to...
You know, Kim, I'm going to have to let you go because we have 15 seconds. I love you both with the love of the Lord.
Love you too.
Thank you so much for joining us here at the 11th Hour Ministries, KCEO Radio, AM 1000. God bless you all. God bless America.
God bless Stephen.
KCEO, Vista, San Diego.